Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We are your hosts, Adriana M.A. and
Jackie Sanders. We are two art professionals sharing forward the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcast, and you'll be notified if we drop a new episode every Tuesday.
So on today's episode, we are delighted to invite Cynthia Dice to our podcast. Welcome, Cynthia.
Yay! I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we are looking forward to discussing bits of your creative journey, process, all kinds of good stuff, as well as a bonus segment that we are going to have on levelupartist.com. But that's later on. Before we dive in, I want to share a little bit more about your background for listeners who may not be familiar with you. So, Cynthia, you are the Artswell Education Director at Triangle Artworks, which is a nonprofit organization created to support artists and art organizations in our area here in the Raleigh area that we're located. You're also involved with SMASH, which we'll definitely talk about, the premier networking event in the Triangle for artists and art professionals. So from professional development courses to resource directories, the Triangle Artworks programs and services, I mean, they're all designed to help artists and organizations navigate the business of art. And you guys have an awesome website that goes with that, with all kinds of good stuff that artists can find in one hub.
And personally, Cynthia also believes in learning something new is always a good use of time. She has spent 2 decades creating spaces, events, and experiences that make people smile, always centered around crafts, the arts, and the sciences. She prefers solutions and action to endless information gathering, and she will always push you towards your goals with excitement and an eye for details, which is definitely something that a lot of artists need help with and has definitely been a huge impact on our community. So thank you so much, Cynthia, again, for being here today and for everything you do in our local artist community. It makes such a big impact.
Well, thanks. You guys make me sound really good.
Well, you do, come on, you're solid. You're definitely solid.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, looking back, I think the way that the three of us met was probably a SMASH event, which we'll definitely talk about. If not, I'm sure we would have crossed paths anyways, because, you know, through Triangle Artworks and Artswell programming, you guys have a lot of like YouTube videos and classes and happy hour for artists, like networking events. Like, there's so much going on in our area that it's like, yeah, sooner or later, we definitely would have crossed paths. But I think the first time was probably SMASH.
I think it was actually at SMASH. I love, SMASH is an annual event, and it's amazing how many relationships I make at SMASH. So that's why I'm so glad to have it back this year, you know, because of the pandemic, we couldn't, you know, we didn't really feel that it was right. We did have some other social activities that were Zooms, but having a big, you know, public gathering wasn't a great idea. So we're so happy to be back this year. I'm just so excited.
It's such an amazing event. I remember back in January 2020, that was one of the big first like art networking events that I attended with Adriana and a couple other art friends. And so we're like, this is our year. We're going to take over. And then 2020 was what it was. Very interesting, divergent of everyone's paths. But SMASH, like, you really felt that momentum in the space, like that charged energy of creatives. Everyone kind of maybe comes in a little bit nervous, not sure what to expect if they've never been to an event before. So in your opinion, what can artists and art professionals expect for the event? And is there anything they need to know beforehand to make the most out of the event if they were to attend?
Well, first thing is you do need a ticket. Triangle Artworks is a nonprofit, so this is not really a money-making thing. This is definitely a labor of love. But get your ticket. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing is this is a networking event. We call it a party. It is a party. You will have an amazing time, but this is a networking event for artists. And, you know, sometimes I'll talk to artists and they're like, well, I went to this like Chamber of Commerce networking event, or I went to this, you know, one that, you know, was offered in my area. And they just felt like they were like the one like bunch of grapes in a bowl of oranges. You know, you're by yourself. There's nobody, you know, there's like at a regular networking event, it is typically non-art businesses. This is all about artists, art administrators, art businesses, you know, people who want to connect with those art businesses. So it's a networking event for us, which feels amazing. It is, you know, if you have never had that experience of like being in a community of just artists. Like, every person you talk to is doing some amazing creative thing. Every person you talk to is interested in your amazing creative thing. It's just, it feels really, really good. It's like a big, you know, like a big hug, basically.
Yeah. That's the cool thing too, where like there is such a range of talent and backgrounds and people at different phases of their art career, everyone from students to emerging artists to people that have full-time jobs and are full-time artists, people that have been doing it professionally for 30, 40 years. And so I think that's also such a unique area because there are so many people there that there's also such a range of diverse talents, diverse experiences, and their connection to the local community is also ranging. So like, you don't know this person that you end up talking to when you're in line to get a drink, or if you're have a snack or just sit around a table, then they may end up being either giving you a really good piece of business advice, maybe being someone that you could network with in the future, or lead to an opportunity that's mutually beneficial for both of you. It's really like,
yeah,
this list, but that power of just bringing people together in the same room can be so, so powerful.
Yeah.
It's super important. But it's a networking event, right? So you need to remember to bring your business cards. If you have any kind of like flyer or poster or, you know, material, postcards, anything that talks about your work and what you do as an artist or arts administrator. I think you probably have some arts administrators who listen to your podcast. So, you know, if you have an art business, anything like that, you want to bring that material. Just like if you were, a dentist and you were going to a local medical networking event, you would bring your business cards, you know? So, it's really, really great that the connections that sometimes are made, you know, you might think that I'm a painter, do I really need to talk to a filmmaker? But then you might end up going back, you know, sitting at a table or standing in line and a filmmaker is chatting with you and is like, you know, I really need some paintings for this project I'm working on. Or, I mean, you really never know.
Yeah. And another thing that I really love about the event, and I'm glad you mentioned the videographer, actually music production, Corey Claxton, that's how we met him. And he is the one that custom made the song for us at the beginning and the end of the podcast. So small world, but also I find it interesting too, because sometimes networking events can be very niche down in a way. So it could just be like creative writers or playwrights or this group or that group. But this one brings together all kinds of different artistic disciplines, as well as people that service or create like services. It could be a website designer or a lawyer that's doing pro bono work for artists or an accountant. Like they're all coming together there too. So it's not just artists of a specific discipline or medium, and that's it. It's actually much broader than that. And you mentioned art administrators, which I'm glad you did. I've met people from several arts councils there, from several colleges and educational institutions that are also out there looking for, oh, actually, we want to recruit more artists for a class we're doing at our community college, for example. And they're going there too to get to meet people and be like, you know, what kind of thing do you do? Also, what are you like in person? Because if we want you to teach in person, not just Zoom, how do you interface with other humans? Anyways, that falls into it too. But before we get going, continue going with this, Cynthia, could you remind us where and when is this amazing event taking place?
Well, so Smash is an annual event. It always happens in January. It's usually the last Monday in January. This year, it's January 30th. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. at Glasshouse Kitchen, which is an amazing, beautiful, you feel like you're transported to some fancy person's Instagram restaurant in RTP. And we will be having Smash, not in the actual restaurant, but they have an event space outside where we're going to have a big heated tent and outdoor fire pit. And then there will be upstairs. We will have the second sort of, Smash has two parts. One is the random networking, right? Like the bumping into somebody, meeting somebody in a line. But then the other part of it is what we call Quick Connect, which is an opportunity where you can sit down and have a 10-minute conversation with an attorney, with an accountant, with, you know, a bookkeeping agency, with somebody who works for a state agency, with grant making organizations, with professional like copywriters and content writers and marketers who all volunteer their time. And you can have these free 10-minute sessions. You sign up for them when you get to the event. So come early. And you can, it's sort of like speed dating, but it's speed dating business advice. So, yeah.
That sounds a lot more productive than speed dating. And I love, especially if you have those like quick business questions. I know there are so many artists out there, yeah, no matter what phase of your career you're in, where you're like, I wish I could just ask someone this one thing. But the idea of like finding a lawyer and asking about these different resources that they may need, or just like starting a process when you're like, I just want this one question, and the internet is not always reliable for getting concise information.
No. Especially for
that
artists.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And many of the professionals that, you know, one of the things about Triangle Artworks is we really focus on finding people, attorneys, accountants, you know, bookkeeping services, you know, folks that work in state agencies, grant makers, folks that have actual connections to the art world. In many cases, they are actual artists. Like we have I believe one of the attorneys is also a concert pianist, you know? So these are people who really understand, you know, in her case, she really understands copyright and how musicians may need to, you know, work with that in their work because she's done it herself. Yeah. So, you know, and that to me, that's like a huge core mission at Triangle Artworks, is to really make sure that we're, you know, we're connecting artists with helpers who get them, who aren't sort of confused by it. I mean, I'm sure every single artist who's ever tried to connect to somebody to help them, they get this advice that you know, at least for me, I would get advice for my art business and I would be like, you have no idea what I'm selling. I am not selling screws in boxes. Like, this is not the same not thing, right? You know, yeah, I'm not selling socks that I import. Like, I'm making this product, you know? So, yeah. And so you really, having those advisors, those experts who really get the idea of creative work, I think is invaluable.
Yeah, because there are so many nuances that make it such a unique business model or industry compared to others. Like you said, it's not simple importing of product and reselling product. And so it really is starting those conversations and connecting people, which I feel like is probably a huge role that you serve within Triangle Artworks. But for people who might not know more about your details, what exactly does that education director role look like for you?
It sounds fancy, doesn't it?
It is fancy.
So Triangle Artworks, a lot of the work we do is driven by volunteers. But right before the pandemic, you know, about the year or so before the pandemic, I was a volunteer. I was volunteering to help out with programming. And we realized that we needed to have a little bit more focused and organized programming. Our executive director, Beth Yerksa, she's really savvy with connecting with granting organizations, and she found some organizations that really believed in the work that we were doing and also believed in seeing artists as businesses and small business people. I have, you know, prior to my Triangle Artworks, I owned and had an art business where I made jewelry and sold it for many years, had lots of employees, had a retail store. And, you know, I had made some transitions in my life and was working as a volunteer, but we really decided we needed to the board decided they needed to like step it up and make it, you know, more official. And so I came off the board and became a staff member, began doing sort of constructing programming. So that's the bulk of my job, is both finding expert artists who, you know, that slash concert pianist slash attorney, copyright attorney, folks who can speak to artists and teach them. And I also do develop long form content. I do teach some of our, because I consult as well. I consult artists and small businesses. And so I do teach some of our programming. My job is the biggest part of my job though. And the part that is the most fun is I just consult with people. It's in my email signature. You can have a 15-minute phone call with me. That's part of my job. You know, when an artist is like, gosh, I really need these three things and I just can't find it. And I've Googled and I just am not finding this resource. You know, I'll get on the phone with them for 15 minutes and be like, you need this, this, and this. Because a lot of what Triangle Artworks is a huge database. Honestly, it's just a lot of resources and a lot of wealth of knowledge. So I get to connect people with answers to questions, which is like, that makes me so happy, right? When I answer someone's question.
Yeah, you're a professional connector, essentially.
It is. Yeah, I do like that. But I also, you know, life, I'm just naturally a teacher and naturally an educator, and as well as by training, but it's also just part of my nature. And so I, you know, get to talk to people and teach them and help them with things, which is just, you know, it feels good to kind of help people sort of move on their path. You know, I just remember some of the things that I did when I was starting out, because like, didn't have that advice. And when I did seek out advice, I got the guy who thought I was like importing socks from China and selling them, you know, which is not what I was doing. And You know, it just, you know, I mean, they just didn't understand. The advisors that were out there were not art connected and didn't understand the concepts. And so I feel like, you know, I did have to learn some things, hard knocks. And then I had some really experienced people that helped me along the way. And so I love being able to kind of give that back and turn that into the, you know, out to other artists.
Yeah. Coming from a business background instead of an art background, I understand, because in school, that is what we learned. And a lot of it was based on like Henry Ford and manufacturing principles and sales principles related to that, and then marketing strategy. But while a lot of it does apply to artists, and I'm glad I did it because it's extremely helpful to run a small business as an artist, there was a lot of it that's like, that doesn't apply. Like, or that branding decision, I can't spend $45,000 on a logo. Like, what? Like, it's just me.
Yeah. So and then
super helpful.
And then thinking about from coming from an art school background, where I feel like Adriana and I kind of have this like both educational backgrounds where we both found something that was missing. Where like coming from an art school background, like you learn about the craft, you learn about how long your process may take, but you don't also think about like marketing and producing art for sales. Like it's very much about the craft and your concept and presenting it and gallery representation, which is great, but also in the world of an online presence, and you can represent yourself or selling your work independently of other people. Like, how do I make a business based on my artwork? Right. So it's like both sides, no matter if you sway more business-minded and then are creative, or more traditional creative education and you're looking those business resources, I feel like Triangle Artworks and you and your experience is really the culmination of that, of connecting those two worlds together.
Yeah, I think, you know, and not, I don't want this whole podcast just be a commercial for Triangle Artworks, but honestly, like just the concept of it, do you know what I mean? Like Beth Yorkson, who's our executive director, she kind of invented it. She's an attorney who just really liked art, and she kept helping artists and kept, you know, she would connect with these artists and work with them. And she's like, why is nobody like providing this sort of resource for artists? Because you know, all our communities here in the United States, our communities tend to put a lot of money and energy into what's called workforce development. It's job training. And we see some of that through like our local community colleges. Some of it is through our universities. And some of it is through state and local agencies that support small businesses. But, you know, it's starting to change. But even as little as 10 years ago, you would go to those places and they would have huge menus of, you know, if you want to start a restaurant, if you want to start a goat farm, if you want to start, you know, a flower stand, if you want to start a dentist's office, whatever. They had all this information. None of it was aimed at creatives. You know, none of it was aimed at artists, musicians, despite the fact that a lot of our economic activity, you know, from a sort of, you know, capitalism standpoint, comes from creatives. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look around, every person, you look around your house, even if you don't own any original art, you own art. You have a shower curtain with a print on it. You have a pillow with a print on it. You know, and some of them you bought at big box stores. The music that you listen to.
Netflix.
Netflix, exactly what I was going to say. What did we all do as soon as the pandemic hit? We were like, sign me up for the streaming services. I'm going to complete them all, you know? And like every bit of that is creative work. And we, like those offices tend to disregard that as economic, or they tended to disregard that as economic activity. Except on the very sort of macro scale, like if you were a filmmaker from Hollywood and you wanted to come into North Carolina, there was a time when they had, you know, office and support for you, which for various reasons has gone away, I'm sad to say. But if you were, you know, like I'll take myself, for example, I started designing and making jewelry, and I was selling my jewelry all across the United States. I had stores in Japan, I had stores in Europe. And I had employees. And then I was like, well, I kind of need some help. Like, I need to figure this out. And that's when I went to, I'm not going to name this agency because they did a really poor job, but they matched me up with a guy who was a retired VP from Belk's department store.
That's where the stock link is.
Yeah. He just kept saying, well, you need to do this. You need to, and I'm like, I make these, like I have employees. Can you help me with like human resources learning for creative people that I'm employing? Can you help me with, you know, bookkeeping needs? He just couldn't fathom it. When I found Triangle Artworks, I really was like, oh yeah, this is someone that gets it. This is a group of people that get it. And so, you know, so that's also part of my work is I sit in a lot of like public meetings, you know, where people, I'm sort of the voice of the artists So, you know, I'm the person that sits in the meeting, and when somebody's like, hey, let's get an artist to paint a mural here for free, I stand up and say, no, that's a job. You have to offer money. You can't ask for free work. You know, you have to pay people for it. Or, you know, when someone says in a meeting, you know, let's get some artists to come out and play music for free. I'm like, well, you're a dentist. Would you do my teeth for free? You know, right. Like, no, no, it's a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you love it doesn't mean you don't deserve to be paid for it.
Yeah. You know, and I think shifting that mindset into like, well, would you ask like your employees to volunteer their time and work for free? Because that's basically what you're asking them to doing. Like, well, we're getting them exposure, or we're granting them with this opportunity. We're just like, it doesn't work that way.
No, not at all. So yeah, but I mean, to go back to your question though. So my, the bulk of my job is really designing this programming in various ways, get information out to artists of all kinds, writers, filmmakers, dancers, singers, you know, visual artists, craftspeople as well, to get all that information out so that they can have a functioning small business. Sort of the tagline of Triangle Artworks is we take your work seriously, and we do. I take the work, the actual, you know, physical work or intellectual work that artists do really seriously. That is work. You know, I also think you should have a play component to it, but you know, but it's your job. If you want to make it your job, you have to treat it like your job. And you need support to do that, and you need people that understand it's your job. And it's not just some hobby that causes you to like go in your studio and play loud music for 6 hours a day. That's not, you know, that's not what art always is. So
yeah. I love that you made that distinction too, because it's like, I feel like, speaking from my own experience, back when I was in the corporate world, the art that I made was for me, right? And if I had 6 hours on a random Sunday morning just to make artwork, actually, it wasn't even work. It was just playing time, right? So things like Triangle Artworks are a great distinction, because when I was, now I didn't know about you guys at the time, mind you, but it would have been awesome. When the time came that I was ready to transition from that corporate life into doing art as a full-time career, that's when then I had to go, okay, time to roll up our sleeves. What kind of spreadsheets do we need? What kind of bookkeeping? How do we file taxes and everything else? Are there podcasts about this? Hey, that's part of why we do what we do. Like those kind of things had to come together. So I'm glad that, again, like the way, not to make it, like I said earlier, like it's not a commercial for Triangle Artworks, but I'm glad that there are institutions or nonprofits such as the one you work in, which are bridging that gap and doing so. I want to say, like, it's not in a, it's the word I'm looking for. Sometimes there are these bigger programs that are like the structure can feel a little stifling or maybe too much like college-like, whereas someone might be, I'm not ready to take a full 12-week college-style program, weekends or you know, Wednesday nights, whatever. And you guys divide it up in such a way that you can just come in and take what you need and then move forward and then, you know, keep making progress towards your business, especially for those folks that are either looking to transition or looking to balance both, because a lot of people obviously have day job plus art, and they're trying to make a business of the art while they still have their other job. So I like that you mentioned that, because I think that's an important distinction. And also the fact, and I think we may have touched on this before, that the way you're all presenting yourself isn't just about one art discipline either. It's actually many different artistic disciplines. Mm-hmm. So especially if somebody's coming in and they might be a musician that also paints, no problem. Mm-hmm. Like it's not so niche down that people might feel excluded. On the contrary, they're like, oh, I can get advice about this discipline and this other thing. And it applies to a lot of it, but it's still creative. So I'm glad with that, I do want to ask you, so for emerging and established artists, in your experience, right? Since you've seen all, again, of all disciplines, also of all levels, what do you feel is something that artists can do to present themselves in a standout way, whether it's to collectors, curators, writer, gallery owners, educators, whatever, any of those hats, but what do you think is something that can make them stand out in your experience?
Well, so, you know, this is a situation where that like good, that sort of old fashioned business school advice really does come, and it does make sense, right? Be a professional, number one. You know, even though you maybe don't have $40,000 to spend on branding, But, you know, you do want to get yourself, even if it's just a one pager simple website that clearly communicates the work you're trying to sell. And this is where I like to make a distinction, because a lot of artists, like you said, you might play guitar and be a painter, or, you know, you might do multiple things, or in your case, you're a painter and you are doing some ceramic work right now. So your site, what, you know, like your, what you're projecting to the world should be what you're trying to sell to the world. So you can do 1,000 things in your creative life. You can, you know, have a 1,000 different creative ways that you express yourself. But as a business, just as you would not have a place that was a bait shop, tanning beds, you know, auto repair and, you know, Botox injections, like you wouldn't put all that in the same place because that would confuse customers, right? You don't want to do that with yourself as an artist. Focus on, you know, if you want to make it a business, focus on what is economically viable and then be a professional when you approach those galleries. So if I am, say, a painter and I'm approaching a gallery, right? I also maybe write music, and maybe I also make really colorful, giant mirrored teapots, but those are not my economic focus. I'm going to approach that gallery with materials that describe my painting. I'm not even going to honestly mention the guitar work or the, you know, teapot work, because those things are sort of outside the scope of the business that I'm trying to construct. So I think it's important for artists to sort of register, and creative people, register what part of your creative work is your business and what part is your hobby. You know, we were talking earlier, like I have had different creative work throughout my life that I have done. And so I focus my creative energy, and when I'm putting myself out as an artist, I focus it on the part that I am making as my business. If I, you know, right now it's not painting, so I make crazy paintings and I just make them because it's like I have a few hours on a Sunday morning and a hot cup of coffee and it's raining and I'm just going to make a painting. So when I go to talk to someone professionally, you know, about my work, I don't mention my hobbies. You know, that's not part of presenting yourself as a professional. Just like if you, you know, if you were a restaurant chef and an amateur bass fisherman in your spare time, you wouldn't go into an investor to try and get them to invest in your restaurant and talk for half of your time about your bass fish. You
know, unless they're into it, and it's a sales strategy.
Unless they're into it, right? Yeah, that's true. Unless you go in and the investor has a ton of bass fishing pictures on their wall,
right?
Talk fish, yeah.
I love that.
But then that's that's strategic, right? That's not, and I think a lot of artists get, because we're creative, right? And because we have all these things that are going on in our minds and all these things that we do and we love, we tend to forget that focus is necessary. Focus helps you move forward. And so focus, really, that's my big advice. Focus as a professional. And so when you go into that gallery, talk about the work that you want to present to that gallery. When you go into that, you know, that venue that may want to book you, talk about the work that you do that they would want to book you for. You know, really be focused on presenting yourself as a professional in that specific arena. And, you know, let the other thing, it's not that you don't spend time on them, but that time is sort of me time. It's not business time, you know?
Right. I love that idea, especially because you're basically just not muddying up the view with like unnecessary information. Because of course, then if for whatever reason you approach a gallery with your work and you're talking about exhibition slots and you're down the process and they say, oh, wouldn't it be great to have live music at the event? And you say, well, actually I do also play music on the side, or I know people because I'm connected in this world. And maybe then you can bring another creative along with you from a different circle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, almost like providing that information when it's relevant and understanding that difference between which one are you leading with versus which is just almost, you can almost think of it as like bonus
content.
Yeah, bonus content of what they know about you as you go. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's a huge power that artists have in creatives. As you mentioned, there's so many facets and levels to our inspiration and our creativity at times.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can get shiny object syndrome to a point, but finding that focus for sure of this is where I'm focusing and intentionally pursuing, and then maybe taking time later to reassess, make sure that's still where you want to focus and pursue. But understanding it's not a limitation. It's simply just getting that focus and then seeing how that feels, how it goes, and then maybe pivoting if needed as well.
Yeah. And it's focusing. It is not limiting. You know, going to, you know, I'm gonna go back to the gallery example. You know, I'm a painter, I'm taking my work into this gallery. That's a job interview, essentially. You know, it's sales, but you're also, you know, galleries want to have relationships with artists. They want people who they feel can consistently provide work, you know. And so if you go in and you're like, well, I make this and this and this and this, and this, then, you know, I have been a store owner. You know, if that person came into me, I'd be like, I don't want to invest my energy in them, because are they going to then be, you know, a month from now when these sell and I want more, can I get more? Or have they moved on? You know, have they done, are they doing something else? Are they not focused on this as, you know, a career and a relationship? So, you know, you really do want to sort of present it. Even if you're not all that professional or focused, act like you are, just for that.
You know, and I love meeting. That you said yeah. that too, because, you know, as part of the podcast and through networking events, we do know other gallery owners, actually, or folks that work right. at galleries. And a lot of them will say, don't come in with your paintings underneath your armpit into our location. That is not professional. Like, find out online. Is there an online form to submit? Do you need to make an appointment? Is it more don't call us, we'll call you? Like, it's like almost do your homework to present yourself in a professional way. So if I'm like kind of synthesizing some of what you just said, I feel like it's the way you present yourself should be what you want to be known for focusing on or selling.
Yeah.
You can always expand that later, but do your homework so that you come off in a professional manner, not just, yeah, I rolled out of bed and into the gallery with crumpled paper underneath my arm and tell them to buy it for $500 a piece.
And you know, you watch a movie and you see the like artists, you know, they're like, whatever, they're like half drunk, of course, because artists are always painters are always like drunk in movies, right? And they're like half drunk and they're like barely dressed and they're like stumbling down the street with a bunch of like drawings under their arms, and then they happen to fall down in front of, you know, some art dealer or something, and suddenly they're rich. That is not how it works, you know. That's not how that works. You know, so you definitely want to focus it, and focus. So also focus your website. If you again are that painter, but you also whatever, but I can't remember all my examples now, bass fishing and pasta making and whatever, just put the stuff on your website that you want to sell. You know, make that your focus. Your social media should be what you're selling. I'm a jaded person with social media. Social media is for selling. It's really like that's what it's become in our capitalist culture. I mean, I think in a, you know, real sort of like sunny, perfect world, it would all be about just connecting with your aunt and all her pictures of her cats and, you know, and your best friend from high school and all of that. But that's what texting is for. You know, so social media really has become this thing about selling. So winnow your social media down, clean it up. Make sure that if you want to sell your paintings, that your social media is about your paintings. If you want to, you know, sell your pasta making, your social media is about your pasta making, you know. Make it reflect who you really are, so that that gallery owner who you've made the appointment with, can, when they do their research on you, and then you come in, you're professional, like everything kind of fits together as a picture and shows that you're a responsible person. Yeah.
Absolutely. And thinking from that reputation standpoint, in addition to focusing down how you are presenting yourself, both in person and online, what are maybe something that you think an artist could do that could harm their reputation?
Well, don't live up to your commitments. That is a huge one. If you are, say you're a potter, you're a craft artist, and I have a gallery and I have said to you, hey, I want, you know, 50 plates and 50 mugs in my store, you know, on this certain date. Don't say yes unless you can have 50 mugs and 50 plates in that store on that date. You know, you need to live up to your commitments. And this is because, you know, that lakey artist thing, like we're fighting against that stereotype, right? But also, you know, you have to understand that your work might be your love. Like it is an expression of who you are, or it's just something you really like to do. I mean, I made jewelry. It was not, there was no like social message in my jewelry, or, you know, it was just fun stuff I liked to make. And I thought it was pretty, you know, so I wasn't personally connected to that. I was a craft artist, and that's how I made my living for about 15 years. But when I did that, I needed to deliver those things, right? I could not, I couldn't not meet up to my commitments, because it's a financial decision for that gallery, for that store, for that venue. When they say that they want your work, that they want to, you know, bring your stuff in, they're committing space, time, resources to you as a professional. If you don't fulfill that, why are they ever going to give you a second opportunity? Also, they know people. So, you know, if you I'm a potter, I don't deliver those mugs to this one gallery in Beaufort, you know, or this one store in Beaufort. And then, you know, I try to go to a store in Charlotte, you know, who knows, that store in Charlotte might know that person in Beaufort. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, don't waste time with an order with her. She'll never bring it to you. Or she'll bring it 6 weeks late, miss your date deadline, something. So just fulfill your commitments.
We're travel fast for sure. Both from a negative standpoint, but also from a positive standpoint too.
Definitely.
Like understanding that, I think that's a great thing to keep in mind for, especially when there's super exciting opportunities that come about. It's as artists, often we can maybe have imposter syndrome or have a negative mindset, but I think the biggest thing with that is like understanding realistic expectations of your own deliverables, your own timeline, your own workload. And of course it's always going to be hard to walk away from a potentially lucrative opportunity or a great opportunity that may be a good fit, but that may be a better alternative in times to something, setting yourself up for failure to where it may then affect your reputation. Of course you want to prepare yourself in the best way possible, or if you have to shift priorities that maybe have more wiggle room than others to make it happen, that'd be great. But word also travels for positive things of, they actually showed up with variation. So I had 3 different designs to choose from, or they got it to me 2 weeks before I actually need to have them in the store. So that way they were the first ones. I put them front and center on the table because they showed that they could be dependable. And I think that definitely goes a long way from a word of mouth reputation.
At stores, that is so valuable for stores too, particularly if you are someone that, and I know there's different, you have different situations, galleries, stores, people may buy your work outright, it may be just on consignment, but, again, going back to that, it's a financial decision. If you don't take it seriously and focus on it and treat it that way, then when I say I'm a store owner, I'm not going to invest in you. I'm not going to give you that prime spot. You know, I'm not going to give you that reorder. It very much needs to be something that you're taking that seriously and focusing on that.
I feel like there's a good phrase that helps summarize this: under promise and over deliver.
Yeah. That's a good one. So my thing for 2023 is that, I'm really trying to make less commitments. I have some creative goals I want to realize this year, and I have, outside from my work with Triangle Artworks, I do consulting work with a couple of artists that have some big things coming up this year that, you know, they need my support in. And I'm realizing that I have to make less commitments because I also have some family things. Like, there's just all these things that you have to balance in your life, right? And balancing them in a way that allows you to fulfill those promises that you've made and to understand sort of the importance of it, I think is really critical. It's hard though. I mean, you know, I am 54, like I'm still dealing with this. I'm still dealing with, all those things that I think younger artists are like, oh, someday I'll have this all figured out. Oh, you might not. But you can, you know, you still have to reevaluate yourself from time to time and sort of, spend some quiet time in your head, in your studio, just sort of figuring that out and kind of getting yourself focused. So,
Glad you mentioned that, because that's, I think it's important. And actually, it's something that Jackie and I have talked about on the podcast too, about how many things we have on the plate and then making space for reevaluating how things are going and then making changes as necessary. Ours is not a career that has a finite point. It's not, I went to school, I got a bachelor's and then a master's and then a PhD. And then now I'm like a professor for 30 years at this college type thing. And that's the end of that. I'm going to medical school, did all these 500 billion hours, and now I'm a surgeon. Like, it's ours is not a career that just reaches a final destination. Ours just continues evolving and rolling around. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. With that, one of the questions, speaking of evolving and journeys, one of the questions that we like to ask all our creatives on the podcast is, how do you define success as an artist? I know we mentioned things about being focused, being professional, some of the highlights we just discussed, you want to under promise and over deliver essentially and live up to your commitments. But those are all different aspects of the journey. But how would you define success specifically?
Well, I do like to make the distinction between yourself as an artist and yourself as an arts small business owner. So to me, as an artist, you are successful when you are, when you feel that you're able to clearly and consistently convey the message you want in your work, whatever message that might be. That message could simply be beauty. That message could be noise. That message could be, you know, peaceful sounds. That message could be, you know, beautiful motions. What, you know, or it could be something much more sophisticated. It could be, you know, you may have, I have a good friend, James Cole. He really wants to talk a lot in his paintings about the current and future state of our environment. And he consistently conveys that. I would say he's very successful as an artist in that way. And then as an arts business person, I think you are, can I talk about that one too? Is it okay if I say that?
Yeah, okay. That'd be great. So, it's all related.
Yeah, it's totally related. So like as an artist, I think it's really important that you are, you know, consistently conveying your message, whatever that message may be. As an artist, arts business person, I think you are successful when you're able to create a sustainable business that provides what you want it to provide for yourself economically. A business is first and foremost an economic activity. So if you, you know, no matter within the scope of the amount of time you have to spend on your work, are you able to create work that sells and provides you with the financial support you need from that part of your business? So those are kind of two very different things, because the first one is much more about work of the heart and work of the soul. And the second thing is work of the pocketbook. You know, I know a lot of artists who make, you know, make a living, have, you know, really good friend who makes beautiful ceramics. And there are the ceramics that she makes that she loves, that make her heart sing, that really convey her sort of thoughts about the world. And then there's the thousands of teacups and bowls that she sells every year to make a living. Those works, those two bits of work are, she's successful on both ends. Those two bits of work are focused and, you know, and are successful. And I think she's a successful artist, but they're not the same work, right? They're related, but they're not the same.
Yeah. Personal work versus commercial work. There's no balancing the two.
No. And that is not something like when I was in, cause I went to art school for painting and glass blowing too, you know, one thing I could definitely do for the rest of my life. The other thing required a lot of materials, studio, you know. That was never discussed. Like the idea that you would do work that was economically viable, like it was a slur. If somebody said, "Oh, your work's quite commercial," you know, that was a slur. That was not a positive.
You being said that you quote unquote were a sellout. I feel like that isn't necessarily a term that's used a bunch now, but we all know that stigma when it comes to, oh, like you sold out to the big corporate America. It's very commercial. But there's nothing wrong with making work because you know that it will sell well or your audience responds well to it. And it still is, in a way, in line with your creative voice and is an outlet. It's not a total offshoot. It is. And you're like, this is what I do to make money. And this is what I do because I love it. It's definitely something that isn't talked about at a lot at the beginning of your creative journey, which actually makes me curious for, what is one piece of advice that you wish you had heard at the beginning of your creative journey?
I only get one. One piece of advice that I wish I had been given very early on was track your time. And it's such, and it also goes very much against my natural state. So I don't do it all the time, but if I'm making work that is work that, again, it's that art business work. If I'm making work that needs to be economically viable, right? That needs to pay me back. I track my time. So do I, that's not Sunday mornings when I'm playing around, right? That's, you know, if I'm making something that I feel is something that is going to sell, that is, you know, I'm going to be remunerated for in some way, I track my time. And I also think it's not a bad idea to spend to periodically track your time for a few days or a week or 2 weeks, you know, as long as you can, just in general, to see where you're devoting your time, you know, because time is the one commodity, right? That we can't make more of. We can't, we have a limited supply in our lives, in our days. It's a pie. You get 12 hours in your pie, or 24 hours in your pie. I'm sorry. 12
it
hours.
It feels like 12 hours. Sometimes. 12.
You gotta sleep. Yeah. But yeah, so I think track your time. I think that's great advice for young artists. And if part of that time is that you have to go to work at the coffee shop, or you go to, you know, I'm assuming young artists, you know, you have what's a job that a lot of young people have now? Social media. You work in social media, right?
Right. Or that job where you work remote, where it's okay, log that, maybe you have a more flexible schedule, but it's, you still have to log time for your day job. Yeah. And I think a big, huge benefit is thinking of that, of that's just another one of your income streams as an artist.
Right.
That's a consultation job. That's a custom painting. Mm-hmm. That's just another income stream. And as your income streams shift, hopefully that time distribution shifts as well.
Yeah.
But you won't know that until you know how much time you're spending in each area. And then you can use that information to create that strategy of knowing where's all my time going? Because we've all been there. We're like, where did the day go? Where did the week go? All of a sudden it's July. Where did the year go? I had all these goals and plans. Mm-hmm. What have I been doing? And seeing it on paper is super, super helpful.
That actually reminds me of something you mentioned earlier about living up to your commitments. And if you are tracking your time, you know how long things take. So if you've been tracking, you mentioned the example of like mugs and plates, how long does it actually take you from start to finish? Because if that gallery owner or store says, can you have it in 2 weeks? And you know that making 20 of them takes you 2 weeks, you can't. You have to adjust what that commitment looks like. But also I feel like it's also important to then, not as a tool for judgment, but almost as a tool for awareness, the time tracking, to be able to see, it's not a competition against yourself. Can I make this faster than cut corners? It's not that, but it is also to be able to see, have I taken time off? Have I had time to experiment, to play, to take classes, like other things that refill the tank? And it's not just go, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Like that ability to be able to look back, or oh, I feel like this week I've barely spent any time in the studio. I've been in front of a computer all day. Well, hold on. What is that tally up to when I look at my time tracker, or the other way around? I feel like I haven't been in front of the computer. I've just been making stuff. But if I just make it and I don't do the business side, nobody's going to see it, know about it, or buy it. So I feel like that's where, I'm glad you mentioned time tracking. And regardless of, you know, the person's age or like, stage of their career they're in, I think everybody needs to time track, which Jackie and I have episodes about that, because it's
I've listened to them.
I mean, it's game changer, especially too, again, if you have an upcoming commitment or there's something you want to propose, there's an open call for an exhibition, the space is X amount. Can you make enough work for whatever that is? Okay, now we got to reverse engineer. Actually, how long does it take me to do some of these things and then go from there? Right, and you'll get faster over time, but you still need to be realistic. So I'm glad you mentioned that. But one of the questions as we get towards the end that we like to ask every guest is, if someone just hands you $100, what would you splurge it on or invest in? Has to be something that brings you joy and relates to your art or business.
Well, I would probably spend it on travel for research purposes, because I know that like probably most of your listeners are visual artists. And I spent a long time as visual and craft artist, but for reasons I have switched to fiction writing. And I need to do research. One of the great joys of fiction writing is that you have to do research. And so I would probably spend it on travel. Also, travel is something that I love. You know, it's just something that I really, really enjoy. So I would put that, I would put the gas in my car, and I would go to sort of southeastern Ohio, Appalachia, where I have a novel that's set. So I would go and walk around. I have family from there, though, so I'd have to like go on the low so that they didn't know I was there, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do the research that I wanted. You know,
that's
I'd have
true. To like, go undercover. Yeah,
you may get painting inspiration too while you're at it. Or
I would. I think that as visual artists, I think like, you know, or as artists, I think we often do go between mediums and they influence each other. I still paint, you know, I paint for myself, and my paintings definitely are about that world and about that place, you know, in my sketches and my drawings. So, you know, it's right.
Connected by you. I absolutely love that. Now, Cynthia, what are some upcoming Triangle Artwork projects or opportunities, whether, you know, for your personal creative side or the business side, that you're just popping and excited about?
Well, we have some classes that we have coming up over the next part, you know, the beginning part of this year. You know, you mentioned earlier that a lot of our classes are sort of real focused because we recognize that as artists, you're busy, you're an adult learner, you cannot sign up for, you know, a semester and delve into all these various aspects of something. So we have several one night or one afternoon workshops focused on taxes, because taxes are coming up. And yeah. And on proper collection and distribution of sales tax, you would be amazed at how many really experienced artists who do lots and lots of markets will, you know, I'll have a conversation with them and I'm like, you know, you're supposed to pay that sales tax money. And they're like, oh, you know, by when? Yeah, it's no joke. So we have both a tax, a Schedule C workshop and a just sales tax workshop coming up that I think are great for anybody and everybody. We also have a grant writing workshop that is coming up. It is a great, and it's about writing your grant narrative. It is technically aimed at people in small organizations, so small arts nonprofits. But I have had several artists reach out to me about it, and I think that there will be some artists in there. The artist who's teaching it, Antonio Alanis, is amazing. And he has written grants, many, many successful grants, both for himself as an artist, for public scale projects that he wants to do, and for organizations. So I think those three, those are real financial things, right? I think a lot of artists, you know, like the financial part of it seems dirty. You're supposed to be this noble artist just pursuing your craft for, you know, the sake of your art. But the reality is that if you don't have a sustainable art business, that if you're not able to pay for your work and pay yourself, then, you know, I mean, nobody really wants to starve in a gutter. Like, it's just not. Nobody wants to do that.
As appealing as that sounds, preferably not.
I mean, maybe if it was like a 19, you
French
know,
Bohemian.
French stuff gutter.
Yeah, let's not.
But still, no. Typist. Yeah, not good. So, yeah.
Well, those all sound absolutely amazing. And of course, we have Smash coming up on January 30th. So, where can people stay connected to you and Triangle Artworks and buy their ticket for Smash if they listen to this episode in time?
Well, I hope they do. And if not, it's every January. So go to triangleartworks.org. We're also Triangle Artworks on, you know, social media. You can search us out. And definitely get a ticket. I would love to see folks at Smash. It has, because it's called Smash the Arts, like you're smashing all the arts together. And it has a vague superhero theme, but I don't want to stress people out. Like, I've had a couple of people say, do I have to have a costume? No, but yeah, it's cool if you do.
If you want to wear a cape, you know, we will be great.
You can. Yeah. It's awesome if you want to. But you don't have to. It's professional networking. So some people show up in like networking clothes, and that's totally cool. So the best way to get a hold of me is through Triangle Artworks. And I'm on social media. Again, I'm not a frequent poster because I'm usually working with other people to help them out. So it's definitely not something that I do as much of as I should. But I'm at Cynthia Dice pretty much everywhere. You can always find me that way. And if you've look me up at Triangle Artworks. You can email me at cynthia@triangleartworks.org. And I really do those 15-minute phone call consultations to answer people's questions. I love it. Awesome. Like, it makes me so happy when I look at my schedule. I'm like, oh, I have three people to talk to today.
It's like a quick connect with you.
Yeah, it is. Like, with me. Yeah. I don't usually take phone calls on Fridays, but I had some things. I had to push some stuff out this week. And so I had a couple phone calls already this morning before I talked to you guys, and it was great. It was so much fun to connect with those folks and to sort of give them answers to their questions. So, yeah. Awesome. So I hope I see everybody at Smash though. If you saw me on this podcast, come up and say hi.
Yeah. Cynthia's not shy. And if you're introverted, she'll be nice to you. So please do come up to her. I can speak from experience. You're lovely.
I'm super gentle. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link all of those good things on the show notes for this episode. And Cynthia, would you mind staying on with us a few extra minutes so we can discuss a little bit more of additional career advice for the bonus segment for our podcast supporters?
I would love it. I still have tea in my cup, so it's perfect.
Awesome. Well, for our listeners, if you want to become a supporter, head on over to levelupartist.com to find how you can also support the podcast.
And if you want to stay connected with us in between episodes and share your favorite bits of the episode, you can follow us on social media. I'm at AmeiArt across all platforms.
And I'm at J Sanders Studio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artists on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.